Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. We got open phones if you want to be on the show. 406-294-0970. 406-294-0970. All hour long. That's all we got going on here. I've been talking about how just weird it is to see coming from the White House, from President Trump, you know, things like this, a complete and total defense of Columbus Day. Donald Trump posted, "I'm bringing Columbus Day back from the ashes. The Democrats did everything possible to destroy Christopher Columbus." And he goes on, but he's saying he's reinstating Columbus Day under the same rules, dates, and locations as it had for all the many decades before. And here's the thing. I think Donald Trump is going to build a 20-foot-tall statue of Christopher Columbus and tour it around the country, and I can't wait till we can have some 20-foot-tall Christopher Columbus statue here in Montana to celebrate the wonderful things to celebrate about Christopher Columbus. Daring, leadership, courage. Maybe one of the, in fact, many people think he is the best all-time navigator on the high seas via Dead Reckoning. Something in and of itself right there worth celebrating. But you've got that going on, and then you've got the Democrats out of Missoula getting a study of more public transportation across the finish line here. Denise Baum, Democrat out of Billings, supported it. She said, basically, the study looks at ways to improve passenger transportation, air, bus, train, vehicle, where the need is, and it looks to enhance and improve that so we can stay connected as a community across the state, guys. We need more buses and trains and stuff to stay connected as a community. Never mind the fact that we can't afford it. We're all struggling under overburdened credit card debt. No, we need to waste a bunch of money so we can stay connected as a community. These people are so out of touch. Let's go to Mike in Cardwell. Mike, thanks for calling.
Yeah, good morning, David. Great show. I like your expose there, the psychological warfare on the case news briefs and the polls and all that.
Thank you.
What I wanted to say, that COVID-19 thing, 9/11, about 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, or 2 to 3 months before 9/11 happened, Bush signed an executive order to make it all possible for all county health departments in every county and every state to have control of the Constitution in the case of a pandemic. And the way to get rid of it is just another executive order. If you know who to talk to about that, I don't. But
all right, well, thank you so much for the call. Appreciate that. Yeah, like I was saying earlier, I think we need to just have make it clear. And frankly, if we can't get a constitutional amendment across the finish line that says never, ever, ever, will we have lockdowns or shutdowns or anything like what happened during COVID? If we can't get that into the Constitution of Montana and the Constitution of the United States, just something simple saying whatever happened during COVID, that can never happen again type of thing, put it into statute. And if it can't be put in the statute, put it in the regulation. I don't care what it takes. We have got to put into law that never, ever will we have what happened under COVID happen again.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby, a federal program which pays rent for some 60,000 families and individuals fleeing homelessness or domestic violence could end soon. The program is called Emergency Housing Vouchers. It's running out of money and fast. Funding is expected to be exhausted by the end of the year, according to the Department of Housing and Urban Development. That would leave tens of thousands of people across the country scrambling to pay their rent. There's concern it could turn people who receive benefits from the program to the streets or back into abusive relationships. The future of the program rests with Congress. Lawmakers could decide to add money as it crafts federal spending for the new fiscal year, which begins in the fall. But it's a relatively expensive program at a time when Republicans who control Congress are dead set on cutting federal spending to afford tax cuts. Maxine Waters of California is the top Democrat on the House Financial Services Committee. She is pushing for another $8 billion infusion. But the organizations lobbying Republicans and Democrats on Capitol Hill to re-up the funding is not optimistic. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Fox rocks.
I'm Monica DeLuca. Stevie Nicks is hitting the road, announcing a new solo tour. It begins August 12th in Massachusetts, making stops in Minnesota, Ohio, South Carolina, Florida, Arizona, Oklahoma, and more. Just days before her kickoff performance, Nicks will play MetLife Stadium in New Jersey with Billy Joel. The national tour of the Broadway revival of The Who's Tommy has been delayed by a year. The new launch date for the tour is fall 2026. The Who's Tommy features music and lyrics by Pete Townsend of The Who and a book by Townsend and Des McAnuff, with the two updating their original 1993 Broadway staging that played 900 performances. No reason was given for the delay, and casting has not yet been announced. That's Fox Rocks on Fox News.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. And here's all I've done, folks. Here's all I've done. I just literally went on last night and looked at the news. And this is what I found. I found that the Montana House has passed a public transportation study. So we're going to be spending a bunch of our money to study more buses and trains. We've got a big story about the governor flexing his mandatory veto power by changing the non-resident hunting license fees from $100 to $50. We've got, a major income tax cut, which is a $260 million cut out of the $2 billion-plus budget surplus. And then, of course, the legislature has done their attack on Columbus Day by putting Indigenous Peoples Day on Columbus Day. And then we've got another one, which was the legislature passed something to ban styrofoam. And so now you're going to have a big pain in the butt when you want to get takeout food. It's going to cost you more, and you're going to have some paper straw type thing. That's all, folks. That's just the news. That's just what's. I'm not here to trash the legislature. I'm not here to criticize the governor. I'm just reading the news that was posted yesterday. Now, if this is fake news and a lot of this stuff comes from, you know, the TV stations or liberal blogs or things like that, because that's the news that's out there. If this is fake news, somebody call in and tell me. But all I'm doing is reporting the news and giving my thoughts about it. Let's go to Eric in Billings. Eric, thanks for calling.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, you?
Hey, I really like your show, and I'm a huge Trump supporter, but you guys are way off on Christopher Columbus. I would really encourage you guys to do your research. He was a horrible, horrible person.
That's false. I'm an actual legitimate historical expert on Christopher Columbus. I've read from cover to cover numerous historical books on Christopher Columbus. He actually ordered his men to actually treat the natives nicely. He never committed genocide. He was never a slaver. All that stuff is all based on lies. Now, if you want to tell me Christopher Columbus wasn't as nice as a modern day liberal, like, sure, yeah, it was the 1400s, of course.
Okay, I'll tell you what I'll do. I will go against the grain. I will admit I'm wrong. If what you're saying is true, then I will totally admit I'm wrong. Just the research I did, he enslaved the women and packed them back as slaves.
That's false. That's false. That's false. That's just completely false. And I don't blame you, Eric, because if you go online, you'll find a bunch of lies. You'll find tons and tons of lies online about Christopher Columbus. Christopher Columbus was not a slave owner, was not a slave trader. Yes, there were some natives that went back with the Christopher Columbus voyage to Europe. That doesn't make him a genocider. That doesn't make him a slave owner or a slave trader at all. What the real facts of what happened there have been totally lied and what Christopher Columbus actually did was told his men to treat the natives nicely. And actually, Christopher Columbus did have a reputation for being very, very strict, but with his own men, with his own sailors. He would actually flog his own sailors, his own European sailors, if they mistreated the natives. And I'm like, I'm sitting there thinking about this over the weekend. I'm like, how stupid do you have to be to really think that there's Christopher and there's Christopher Columbus or any explorer, and you encounter a native tribe for the first time ever? Hey, let's be mean to them. Let's mistreat them. How stupid would you have to be? And if folks know anything about the history of European exploration, people would know. Every single time a European explorer made first contact with the native tribe, the first thing they tried to do was to make peace with them. They would give them gifts, et cetera, et cetera. And it makes perfect sense why. You're on a ship. You're 3,000 miles from home on a ship, and here's a tribe that you've never met. Nobody's ever seen Europeans. What are you going to do, be mean to them? How much sense would that make? I mean, be logical here, folks. The whole Christopher Columbus thing is one of my pet issues, because I have actually read all the books. In fact, I could bring up the list of books I've read about Christopher. And there's some books out there that I would not recommend reading as well, because they're just, you know, they're totally biased. And there's a whole bunch of analysis that goes, when you're studying Christopher Columbus, you have to look at the sources of information and where they're coming from. There was actually a contemporary of Christopher Columbus that was basically his political rival. I'll think of the name in a second. I know the name off the top of my head. I just am drawing a blank on it right now. But a lot of his writings is what people will use to attack Christopher Columbus. And it's like, wait, so they'll take that writing, you know, for truth, even though it's got a known bias and it's got a known incentive to be biased. But then they won't take other, you know, pieces of information and pieces of writing for truth. So, there's definitely some debate about it. But the bottom line is, it's like, okay, even if Christopher Columbus was a sinner, even if he was not perfect, and guess what, folks? He was a sinner, and he was not perfect, because nobody's perfect. That's the other ridiculous thing about this. Wow, so now for us to have historical heroes, for us to look up and respect somebody like Christopher Columbus, who was one of the most courageous leaders and adventurers and explorers and discoverers, and one of the world's top sea navigators and one of the greatest naval commanders of all time, for us to celebrate that and appreciate that, now we have to prove that he was a perfect human being who never committed a sin. Folks, that only applies to Jesus Christ. I'll admit to you, Christopher Columbus was not Jesus Christ. But you know what? We can still have a day to celebrate, and we can still have statues of him. Oh, my goodness. All right, folks. We're done with that rant. Got a caller on the line, Clinton Bozeman. We'll come to you next after this. Clint, this is David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint, 294-0970, if you want to be on the show.
Fox on Games, your insider's cheat code to gaming.
So much for having enough Nintendo Switch 2 consoles ready for pre-orders. Fans complaining of long wait times, error messages, and website problems. Pre-orders through the official Nintendo site have been met with a message saying, due to the very high demand, we will be working diligently to fulfill orders as product becomes available, but delivery by June 5th is not guaranteed. Nintendo had required pre-orders from its shop to be from longtime users of the first Switch with at least 50 gameplay hours, and had Nintendo Switch Online with at least 12 months of subscription. Nintendo is also working to find out who was behind a massive leak surrounding its Pokemon franchise. If granted, a subpoena against messaging service Discord would give Nintendo and the Pokemon Company the name, address, phone number, and email address of the user named Game Freakout. The user allegedly posted artwork, source code, and characters, among other things, to the service, which eventually got widely shared on the internet. Brian Holmgren, Fox News.
It's April 27th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is Tell a Story Day. It celebrates storytelling of all kinds, fact, fiction, a tall tale, or folklore. Today is the day to tell your favorite story. In 1994, South African citizens of all races are allowed to vote in a general election for the first time. The election was held precisely 44 years after apartheid was formalized by the government with the passing of the Group Areas Act. The world's largest commercial jet, the Airbus A380, takes off for the first time in 2005. Also on this day in 1947, Babe Ruth appears for the second to last time inside the stadium nicknamed the house that Ruth built. The legendary slugger played 22 seasons, smacking a then-record 714 home runs. Born on this day, Samuel Morse, co-inventor of the Morse code and also an American painter. I'm CJ Papa, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Securing America.
U.S. NATO Ambassador Matthew Whitaker spoke about the state of the alliance Sunday following NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte's visit to Washington this past week. Whitaker reiterating President Trump's stance concerning NATO funding while appearing on Fox's Sunday Morning Futures.
I think our European allies and Canada understand that they need to do a lot more.
Whitaker adding where he thinks additional funding should be spent.
That money needs to be dedicated to lethality, war fighting.
He said the reason is simple.
We have a dangerous world. You mentioned Iran, you know, China. Russia is obviously threatening our European allies especially.
And that our allies understand the most important thing.
The American people are an ally, that we stand for freedom and liberty all over this globe.
NATO's next summit will be held in the Netherlands in June. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint, and this is Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. So let's go straight to the phones. We've got Clint in Bozeman. Clint, thanks for calling. Hey, are you there, Clint? Oh, maybe we don't have him. I'll ask the producer. Producer, check with Clint if we still got him on line three and let me know. We've been talking about the Montana legislature. I will say, you know, the good news is here, we do have a tax cut going to the governor's desk. I want to give credit where credit's due on that. Definitely happy to see that. Wish it could be bigger, but it is what it is. Here's another little interesting thing. Saw this in the news as well as I was doing some show prep here, but also been hearing about this sort of just in the streets and things like that. Apparently, there is a push to allow cigar rooms at the legislature. There was a piece in the Montana Free Press about how cigar rooms would break Montana's Clean Indoor Air Act, bringing back smoking rooms to Montana businesses. This is an idea so bad they're ridiculous, according to this article, which I must have cut off the author of this. But apparently SB 150 would allow cigar rooms basically to operate in the state. Oh no. What if a private property owner was allowed to do what he wanted with his own private property? Who are these people that don't want a private property owner to be able to have to let people smoke a cigar on his own or her private property? I mean, this is just outlandish. And frankly, this is, again, it's like the ban on indoor smoking of cigarettes. Like, it might sound like a small thing, but if you don't stand up for your freedoms and rights on things like that, these are sort of like these types of issues just rub me the wrong way, because everybody just sort of overlooks it. Let's just have the government ban styrofoam. Let's have the government mandate, you know, seatbelts. Let's have the government, you know, tell us, you know, they're take pictures of us if we run a red light. Let's have the government do all of these things and put all these rules in place. Don't we're not allowed to have a cigar room on our private property. I mean, if you don't stand up for your right to have to do what you want on your own private property or in your own car when you're driving down the street, that's impacting nobody else other than in some extremely, extremely attenuated three or four steps down the line, then we don't stand for anything. And it's like our government is the government in Helena. They're not there to be nanny or mommy and daddy. Put your seatbelt on. Be sure to put your seatbelt on, little Johnny. Put your helmet on when you're riding. Don't use styrofoam. And oh, better not use it. You know, better use paper straws. That's not the purpose of the government. They actually have important things to do, but they're not doing it because they're worried about stuff like that. Let's try Clinton Bozeman again. Clint, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, I got you. Thanks for calling.
Well, yeah, I had to redial. Something happened. I thought your fella said there that answers the phones. But, three things I wanted to talk about. First of all, I want to talk about the legislature and the Homestead Act. The Homestead Act has been in force for many, many years. And the people that fall under that, that's under a certain amount of money, can go down to their local assessor's office and prove what they pay in one thing or another, and they can, a lot of people can go under the Homestead Act.
Right, but that doesn't give them a reduced property tax bill. The Homestead Act, at least until this recent legislative session, the Homestead Act all along was strictly to protect a certain amount of your equity in your home that you declared as a homestead against creditors. So if you lost a lawsuit and you had a big judgment against you, the idea is the judgment creditor wouldn't be able to go after your homestead.
That's right. You're absolutely right. Well, what it basically is it's a tax evasion deal so that people don't lose their homes. And the next thing I wanted to talk about is this. The reappraisal of our homes here in the Gallatin Valley and all over the state comes every 2 years. And I do believe this year our taxes in Helena is going to raise our taxes. I don't think whatever you might get back is going to be recuperated again through just what I said on the reappraisal. Reappraisal
right.
is going to cost us a lot of money here in Montana.
Oh, yeah.
And the third thing I want to say is this. Columbus did discover America, but he didn't discover North America. The Vikings did.
Right. No, that's
so
a good
anyway,
one.
I just wanted to say that. And these folks that are out here on fixed incomes, like in Bozeman and stuff, you know, used to be them. The folks that were in Bozeman that were retired were generally in the farming community and things like that, where they turned the ranches over to the sons or daughters. Now they can't do it. The
Clint, the legislators up in Helena, they don't care about you people in Bozeman on a fixed income. They don't care about seniors in Montana that are struggling. They're too worried about banning styrofoam and passing a bunch of spending to do public transportation, more buses and trains. That's what they're worried up there doing, Clint. They don't care about people like you. Hey, we got Henry Kriegel with AFP on the line. Henry Kriegel with Americans for Prosperity Montana. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no problem at all. Good to be here.
I don't know if you've had a chance to listen, Henry, but I've kind of been going off here on some of the news items, and all I did was look at the news yesterday, and what I found in the news yesterday was that the legislature has passed a ban on styrofoam, the legislature passed a public transportation study, the legislature passed a income tax cut that's only $267 million when they've got over $2 billion in a surplus. And that's kind of the news I've been following. What have you been following?
Well, you know, I've been recuperating from what they call the capital crud. I don't know if this is a physical malady or it's just being just fed up with the entire process. But a number of us have come down with this thing, but I've rallied enough this morning to join you.
Well, I appreciate that.
You got it. And I can only tell you, we fought for the best tax proposal on the docket. It happened to be the governor's bill, SB 332, which would have brought us very close to a flat tax.
And I think that one was worth a lot more than $267 million, wasn't it?
It was worth a lot more than that. That's for sure. It would have brought down the highest cap rate down to 4.9% over 2 years, which meant that if we lowered it another 0.2%. You would have a flat tax rate across the state, and the flat tax is the fairest and most equitable form of tax.
So is that one?
Last time I've done math, the millionaires who get charged 4.9% still pay a lot more taxes than someone making $50,000 a year being taxed at 4.9%.
That is correct. So is that in light of this other income tax bill passing, is the one that you're talking about, is that one officially dead?
It never got out of committee.
Okay.
Out of committee. Now, the one that I think you're referring to, Speaker Lehr's bill.
Correct.
Which is HB 337, if I'm not correct. There was an amendment on that bill, which would have made that into a flat tax over the next 2-3 years. And that was stripped out. So we at least have a nominal decrease in income tax. At least it's fairer than SB 203 in the Senate, where only low and middle income folks get the tax rate, get the tax cut, but those who earn more get a higher tax rate. And I don't think that just goes against our principle of fairness in taxation.
Well, right, and it's bad. It's bad policy. I mean, Donald Trump even mentioned recently about how against the millionaires' tax he is. And, you know, the Democrats like easy solutions and easy ideas. Hey, let's just do a millionaires' tax. Let's just take all the millionaires' money. Well, do they not think about what happens? You know, the day after you pass a law like that. I mean, it's not that hard to figure out what happens.
It's a disincentive for those who want to create wealth and create jobs and prosperity for themselves and others.
Yep.
You know, it's unfortunate. The level of politics today, where those on the center right have adopted some of the class warfare language of the far left. Since when have the job creators and the risk takers and the prosperous have become the enemy of the state? Why should they be punished for it?
Oh, I know. You're speaking to the choir on that one. It's not just on that issue either, where you're starting to see the Republican Party sort of move further to the left. Not just on that one, unfortunately.
It's unfortunate you have this split within the particularly overtly within the Senate caucus, Republican caucus, and not too far underneath the surface and on the House side. But certainly on the Senate side, where you've got Republicans aligned with Democrats opposing lots of the major transformational bills.
Seems just as bad on the House side. Henry, we'll be right back. We got to take a break. Hang with us if you can. If you got to run, that's fine too. David Noble in for Aaron Flint.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Well, I thought Aaron Flint was taking a day off, but it looks like he just posted a new story on the Montana Talks website and the app. So, and it has to do with the legislature and the governor's veto pen. You're not going to want to miss it. Go to MontanaTalks.com or go to the App Store and just search for the Montana Talks app. That's what I do. First thing I do when I wake up is open up the Montana Talks app on my phone, turn on the radio, and start doing my thing. Henry Kriegel with Americans for Prosperity Montana. Henry, what else you got for us?
Well, you know, talking about taxes, you got to talk about spending. And we got House Bill 2, which represents a very significant increase in our budget, an 18% increase in spending over the last biennium.
Yeah, that's what Senator Glim had said. It was like the general fund spending was 18%, and I don't know how they calculate sort of a lower. They'll do some tricky math to try to say it's lower than 18%. But Senator Glim was pretty clear. This is an 18% at least increase.
At least 18%, and that means they're going to be in the red, and we have a balanced budget requirement in the state of Montana. And if the legislature isn't going to make the cuts, then it's going to be up to the governors. They're going to punt their fiscal responsibility, the fiduciary responsibility to balance the budget, and they're going to give over that authority to the governor, and his office will make the cuts in the budget. And we're talking upwards to $1 billion.
Wow.
That's correct. Yes, $1 billion in the red over the next several years. And this is unsustainable. When you have a surplus and you're spending that much more, it's incredible.
Now, meanwhile, all of us Montanans out here are struggling just to put food on the table on a day-to-day basis. How do these people sleep at night with that kind of spending?
I don't know, but I do recall seeing Carl Glenn, heroically there on the Senate floor, trying to introduce amendment after amendment to cut spending, and getting shot down time and time and time again. Him and Matt Regeer and John Esp, over 20 amendments were defeated by, you know, the 27-23 vote. Closest was a tie. A tie, is a loss. And they tried in the Senate. Didn't also work in the House. And it's going to be a problem. And it's going to be up to the governor to solve if the legislature doesn't do it themselves. And that's a big deal. It is a very big deal. And I also would like to add that something that few people even talk about, the structural imbalance that was caused by the one-time infusion of COVID money into Montana from the federal government. We don't do zero-based budgeting here in the state of Montana. We take the budget from the last biennium and work off from there. So that one-time funding, was it over $3 billion, I believe it was, grossly bloated our spending and our spending patterns, and impacted the budgeting process. But we're not really talking much about that.
No, and what's this? Did they pass that? Weren't they trying to create like a $300 million, just basically a slush fund?
Are you talking about for the pension?
I can't remember the story. I saw a couple of news stories about the legislature putting together a bill to create some kind of $300 million rainy day fund thing.
There's another bill called an opportunity fund that Lou Jones is putting out where he claims to, the goal there is to increase the return on investments into the state of Montana.
Oh, boy.
It's been done on other states. It's very complicated. It's above my pay grade. There's some risk involved in it. We're not taking a position on it as far as AFT is concerned. But that, too, has made its way through the House, and it looks like it's going to move forward. So we got some serious challenges here up there at the legislature as we wind down the session. I hope to be able to get – I don't even know if in my state of health I'm going to be able to get up there to do anything about it. But in any case – wow. Property tax. There isn't any significant property tax reform bill that's going to make its way through. And ultimately, any property tax reform bill is just going after the symptom. The problem is local spending. And
right.
So you control local spending, which is the driver on increased property taxes. Yes, as Brent mentioned earlier, the appraisals happen more often. Montana has become a destination place. We have a housing crunch. Regulations and zoning have limited the capability of people to really leverage their property in order to build housing. Permitting processes are too lengthy. They're too costly. They add lots of cost to building. Parking requirements, which now are going to be lessened due to the bill that was passed, led by Katie Zelnikoff, should relieve a little bit of that. But, property taxes are going to remain high, unfortunately, until we get control on local spending. And we always hear this thing from local authorities, local government knows best, and they're the ones who should determine zoning and all this other stuff. Well, they need to be held accountable for their spending. They're the drivers of property tax increases.
Yeah, they are.
And
you've got people like Clint and Bozeman and his friends on fixed incomes, literally getting taxed out of their homes, literally losing their homes. You've got Montanans going into credit card debt, going to Walmart to buy groceries at Walmart on credit cards because they're struggling to get by. They're stressed out every day. They're thinking about how much credit card debt they have every day. They're thinking about how much longer they can stay in the house before they got to leave the house. And you've got the legislature up there blowing out spending and not giving us any kind of tax relief for spending reductions. I mean, I truly find that revolting and almost evil. Think about that. Think about how sad that is. You've got elderly Montanans on fixed incomes literally having to lose their houses. You've got poor Montanans going into credit card debt to buy groceries at Walmart, and you've got the legislature up there blowing out spending like that. That's on the verge of evil.
Well, it's kind of running contrary to what's happening or what's being done on the federal level, where they're trimming back and finding ways to get rid of inefficiencies, redundancies, fraud, and waste. And we're not seeing the same kind of zeal and passion being done here. in our state legislature to find ways to trim the budget to make it more lean and mean. And yes, I do know Clint. I do know where he lives. It's a humble but nice home where he lives, nice area of town. And these guys have worked hard for what they've got, and we want them to remain and live in that home as long as they're able to and pass it on to their family members. So,
hey, Henry, I want to take Diane and Mary, and she's been waiting a few minutes here. You had a couple of closing comments here, or where can people support you, that kind of thing, and then I'd like to get Diane on.
Yeah, no problem at all. Thank you for your time. You guys know AFP Montana, info@AMFPMT.org. If you want to get a hold of us, offices in Billings, Bozeman, Helena, Missoula, Kalispell, and Great Falls. We're all over the state. We're here throughout the year, and you'll hear more from us. Thank you so much for your time this morning, David.
Thank you.
Good to be with you.
Thank you so much. All right, let's see. Diane and Marion, are you there?
I am.
Oh, so thanks so much for waiting. Sorry about that delay.
That's fine, David. I've been listening to this program as I do every morning, and I am enraged at what our Montana legislature and governor and everybody else is focused on spending for. 2 years ago, I brought my ex-husband here from North Dakota after he had been diagnosed with dementia because there was nobody else. For 2 years, I have struggled, and I have run into roadblocks everywhere I turn, every agency, Alzheimer's.org, and I could go on and on and on and on of my contacts to try to find help for him. There is no funding. Medicare sucks. They don't provide enough money to care for these people. And my ex-husband, Tom, had a behavior problem. Well, all the facilities locally, they will take nice, quiet people. They don't like aggressive. They can't handle it, and I understand because they have other people, other residents that they have to protect along with their staff. So what do you do with aggressive people? He ended up in the hospital where I saw numerous cases of neglect. I finally discharged him from the hospital last Friday. When he had been diagnosed at the end of life. The day before I went in to see him, he was laying uncovered. His legs were shivering. He had no clothes on except for a shirt and a diaper. And I went in, and he was laying on a urine-soaked bed.
Hey, we might be up against the break here. Diane, hang with me here. Sorry, Diane. I'm not sure exactly when we're on a break here. I guess we got another outro here. We got a few minutes. Diane, hang with me. I am just appalled by that phone call, Diane, and my heart breaks for you and your ex-husband. Imagine that's what's going on out there in Montana, and the legislature's up there focused on styrofoam bans instead of fixing issues like Diane's got. Unbelievable.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
The damage was done under Biden and under Obama and Biden. Trump inherited this mess. It's like he's inheriting the mess in the Middle East on October 7th and inheriting the mess of the Iranians now being filthy rich because Joe Biden turned a blind eye to the sanctions that Trump had in place that were bankrupting them. And as a result, they were able to foment more terror in the region and help plot, plan, and scheme what happened on October 7, 23, and from the Houthi rebels, and then fire their own ballistic missiles into Israel. That's all. This all lies at the feet of the failure, the mess, the disaster. That was Joe Biden's presidency.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Hey, you exhausted every day? Maybe you have the 3 p.m. crash or struggling with memory issues, having a hard time focusing. You have to stop and pay attention to what I'm about to tell you. I never run out of energy, and I'm fully focused. Strong Cell, it's a revolutionary supplement that has truly changed my life. I use it every single day. It gives you natural energy, helps me stay focused all day long, and just makes me feel better overall. Whether you're a working mom or dad or homeschooling your kids or some of our loyal men and women behind the wheel across the country, try Strong Cell. It'll change your life. Linda uses it as well.
I use it every single day. I have my kids using it, my parents using it, my in-laws using it, my friends using it, and I am telling you, it is immediate. is one of the only ways you can get NADH on the market, and it works.
Go to HannityStrong.com, use promo code Hannity, you get a special 20% off any order. Once again, HannityStrong.com, and Strong Cell believes in their products so much, you get a 60-day no-risk policy. Invest in your health. I did it. It changed my life.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby, a federal program which pays rent for some 60,000 families and individuals fleeing homelessness or domestic violence could end soon. The program is called Emergency Housing Vouchers. It's running out of money and fast. Funding is expected to be exhausted by the end of the year, according to the Department of Housing and Urban Development. That would leave tens of thousands of people across the country scrambling to pay their rent. There's concern it could turn people who receive benefits from the program to the streets or back into abusive relationships. The future of the program rests with Congress. Lawmakers could decide to add money as it crafts federal spending for the new fiscal year, which begins in the fall. But it's a relatively expensive program at a time when Republicans who control Congress are dead set on cutting federal spending to afford tax cuts. Maxine Waters of California is the top Democrat on the House Financial Services Committee. She is pushing for another $8 billion infusion. But the organization's lobbying Republicans and Democrats on Capitol Hill to re-up the funding is not optimistic. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble in for Aaron Flint. By the way, that is Noble with a K. You can find me online at LectureFan. I'm an attorney here in Billings, and I also do political commentary and live streaming online just for fun. We're talking to Diane in Marion. Diane, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, what else did you have to say? Sorry we had to cut you off there.
I don't know where I left off. Funding has got to be made. I listen to the news. I see the trillions of dollars that are going out of our country to foreign countries by way of USAID, the insane projects, the trillions and billions of dollars going to that, but we don't have money in our country to take care of our dementia patients who are, seems like if you're going to get old, you're going to have dementia at some point. And there has got to be money to take care of them and take care of the care providers, because we are under a tremendous amount of stress and anxiety. Our homeless need help, our veterans need help, but yet we can waste money. Taxpayer dollars going for the most insane things I've ever, I can't even dream up stuff like that.
Yeah, well said, well said. Well, thank you so much for the call, Diane. You know, Diane, I've had family members with Alzheimer's as well, and I know that that's difficult to deal with. I agree with you that our government and our legislature and our Congress are up there wasting time and money when they should be focusing on things like that. I agree with you as well that our healthcare system is terrible. I have a better solution for it than just more government spending, government funding. I think that would actually probably backfire and cause more problems than good. What we really need is to get the federal government completely out of healthcare at all, let it all be run by the state, and then have a very light touch state regulatory environment for healthcare. And then at that point, what you would then have is you would have healthcare that could actually be affordable by regular people. Right now, nobody can afford health care or can afford to pay for any of this stuff because of government involvement. You get the government out, prices come down, and then you can actually afford it. Would be my solution, as opposed to just throwing more taxpayer dollars at it, which has literally never worked on anything ever. Let's go to Steve in Billings. Steve, thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I'm just listening to the analysis here of the legislature. It reminds me so much of growing up in Wyoming with a boom and bust economy. When times are good, the legislatures, they just assume that it's going to continue to be good. And so they spend money, and they spend money, and they start programs. And then when things dry up eventually, which they're going to, then they have to shutter all kinds of programs. They have to cut funding. They have to do all kinds of other things. Rather than being fiscally responsible with what we have right now, continuing to save, continuing to take care of our citizens, and then when things do eventually go bust, they're not so bloated and big that they have to cut everything. I wish they'd take a lesson from Wyoming from the last 30 or 40 years with the boom and bust that they had down there.
Yeah, or Norway. I don't know if you saw President Trump did a little presser with the Prime Minister in Norway in the Oval Office, and they were talking about how, look, in Norway, they have a lot of oil, and they recognize that it wouldn't last forever, and so they created a sovereign wealth fund, and they're just putting all of their a lot of their wealth into that wealth fund, and now they've got a huge asset base. You know, something like that might make sense too, but. Just blow out spending every single time. And like we just had the AFP Montana director on talking about how we're headed actually into a deficit. We're going to have a $1 billion deficit with how much spending they're doing at the legislature. It's crazy.
Yeah. And, you know, Wyoming has been a rainy day fund kind of like that from oil and gas revenue and coal. But as far as just state spending, when times were good, things would just money be flowing and then you'd hit a bust and there'd be shuttered up buildings, there'd be government-sponsored programs that have to be cut, just all kinds of things, and of course, then people are mad at the legislature for doing it, but they should never have started that stuff in the first place if it's just a bust cycle, or a boom cycle.
No, that's a great point. Thanks so much for the call, Stephen Billings. We are at the top of the hour. We're here for another hour. Open phones the entire time. Call in now if you want to be first up during the statewide hour. David Noble in for Aaron Flint.
Media Minutes with Howard Kurtz.
Here is a classic example of how some stories, negative stories about President Trump, are just essentially made up. So when the president on Saturday went to Pope Francis's funeral, Vatican protocol mandated that he wear a dark suit and a black button. That's just the way it's done. President wore a blue suit and a blue tie instead. All right, maybe not the best fashion choice. So you get a few randos on X, and they say this is disgraceful, this is despicable, this is awful. And then when you read down the story, you know, the last paragraph is, well, by the way, President Biden, one of the princes, and others also wore blue. So why didn't the headline say Biden and Trump are disrespectful? With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.